When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast, a podcast all about women and the arts, hosted by Stani and Sadie.
Join us as we explore what it's like being a female artist, examine modern day problems, and educate ourselves and you on important and forgotten female artists of the past.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast. My name is Sadie.
I'm Stani, and happy birthday, Sadie.
Happy birthday. More Than Amused, we are officially 3 years old.
Woohoo!
Wow, 3 years. I dare pat us on the back and say that is impressive.
I'm very proud of us.
Me too. We've learned about so many women. And every year we have a tradition of what we do to celebrate, which is essentially a yearly recap, of course, to remind us of all the women we've covered, but we turn it into a bit of a trivia game to see if we can remember who the other people covered. So if you are listening right now, I'm going to encourage you to still listen because either one, you have listened to a lot of our year's podcast and then you get to play two. Or two, if you haven't listened, you'll at least get a little snippet of every single person and their story that we have covered in the last year to, I don't know, give you a sneak peek of what you could go learn about, what is out there. So, you know, maybe it'll pique your interest in a certain episode to go learn more about, you know, a woman without having to just sift through all the hours of content that it would be if you don't feel like listening to all of it right now.
Definitely. I feel like one of the comments we get the most is that a lot of people will just go to names that they recognize because then they at least know a little bit going in on what the episode's going to be about. Yeah. Totally understandable. Obviously, the whole point of this podcast, though, is that we want to cover a lot of people that you've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why I personally love this episode, because I think it's a good, like, Reader's Digest, Listener's Digest, you know, mm-hmm. for all of our episodes, as well as, like, we were talking about how the first, like, year, and even last year, I'd say, like, we had a pretty good grasp on every single person that we've covered.
Yeah.
This year,
we've learned about so many people. I've edited so many episodes. We've done 160, 170 episodes at this point. Like, they are blurring together. Yeah. So we're not going to do as well.
And it's like, even the people that I had researched, I was like, I don't know the answer to this question. And that upsets me.
I know. It'll be a good reminder for the both of us as well to pay homage to the women that we've covered.
Before we dive into it, though, I just had to, like, comment on this because, you know, last week we talked about the female equivalent of the Roman Empire. My Roman Empire this week has been Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Listen, I was debating if I was going to mention it while recording that Taylor Swift is currently at her second Chiefs game right now. I just got home from a co-write, and for the first time in my entire marriage, I came home to Jordan watching a football game.
What?
And I'm not saying he's doing it just because of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but I've been a lot more pro football the last week and a half. And he was like, you know, I should start watching football. That's a fun thing to watch. So it's infiltrating my life.
Okay, same. For so many reasons. So first off, last year, Travis and Jason Kelce were in the Super Bowl. So a bunch of podcasts mm-hmm. I listened to were covering the fact that it was like a brother playing a brother, which, I mean, the whole reality TV show of that, of course, I'm invested.
Of course.
Yeah. So invested. We're like introduced to the characters, you know, plus they have a podcast together, which I was like, cute, you know,
that's wholesome. I love yeah. it. Yes.
Then Taylor Swift shows up at the Chiefs game, and I also just so happened to be on a fantasy football survivor league this year.
Yes, I remember
my best
that.
Friend's husband's really into it. I'm still going strong.
Bravo.
Thank you very much. Now, the week that I picked
the Chiefs just so happened to be the week that Taylor Swift shows up at their game. Can we talk about
that is amazing.
Yes. So, I also have purchased a sweatshirt that says NFL Taylor's version because they changed their Twitter bio to say NFL Taylor's version, put her and Mama Kelsey up in the little banner image, which, by the way, is the first time in history that the NFL has ever featured an artist on their page.
It's incredible.
It really is good. And I actually think that this could really work for her.
Okay. So you are a truther. Like, you think they could actually
I really do. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think, like, all of her past relationships, they've been very, like, threatened by her. And especially with Joe Alwyn, I think, like, he was always trying to, like, hide their relationship, which in some ways made it seem like he wasn't proud to be with her because of, like, how famous she was.
Yeah, true.
And Travis, say what you will, but he's thrilled.
He's thrilled. That is so true. Yeah.
And he's not shy about it, but, like, all of their team members are, like, respecting the privacy, and he's never going to be threatened by her in that way because, like, he knows that she's the best.
The best.
But he's the best in his thing, and those things don't cross very often.
No.
I think it could really, really work.
I'm here for it, to be honest. Yeah. I've had people be like, there's no way it's real. Let me live in my fantasy. It is truly the plot of the best, like, rom-com novel ever.
Right?
A pop star and, like, one of the biggest football players right now meeting together.
Yeah, and dating. It's so good. Which, by the way, I have to mention, someone wrote, like, a really crappy self-published romance novel about it that everyone ripped to pieces in a matter of seconds, and, like, it got taken off the internet.
Oh, so tragic.
Don't do that.
Yes. I'm very for it as well, to be honest. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I think it's a nice little thing.
I agree. I saw this TikTok today too, talking about the fact that they're like, listen, on paper, Travis Kelce is everything you wouldn't like. He's like a white jock, kind of has like a, you know, not a goofy energy, but like, it kind of has like a dumb energy to him. No offense. I mean that affectionately.
Yes.
But they talked about the fact that, like, literally the tight end position is someone who knows when it's their turn to be the star, aka the person to catch the ball, and when their job is to support. And, like, is there truly a better role to be with someone like Taylor Swift?
Plus, there's the whole, like, lyric that's going around, I'm sure you've seen, where it's like, the I'll be 87, you'll be 89. And that's his number. And, like, obviously 89 is hers. Or the fact that he's her 13th boyfriend.
I did not.
I'm telling you, Sadie, it is my Roman Empire.
That's so fair. I'm honestly, even before this all happened with Taylor Swift, there's an Netflix documentary called Quarterback that, like, follows the lives of three quarterbacks for a year and just does a documentary about them. I was watching it before this all craziness happened with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and just watching the documentary, I was like, you know what? I get the football thing. Mm-hmm. And then, because of what has happened with Travis Kelce and Taylor, I watched the documentary on Amazon Prime about Jason Kelce. Jason, right. That's his brother. I have never in my life been this invested in sports.
I know, same.
In the NFL, period.
Same.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I am. I really am. I'm like, okay, you've got me. You have me invested. There's so much more. I have all these little tidbits. We could go on for hours about this whole thing, but
anyone who is out there who is also invested in this, you are so welcome just to send us anything that you might feel about this. Sorry if you are not in the Taylor Swift universe and you don't care. I care. I care so much.
I care very much so. And this apparently has also made me invested in football. Like, before this started, I just checked the 49ers score because they were my pick for this week. And I'm through again, guys.
No, literally, I got home and I saw the football game. I was like, oh my gosh, were all the Chiefs winning? And he was like, yes. And I was like, yes. And then I was like, what?
I have yet to, like, actually sit down and watch a game, so we'll see if we get to that point. But, like,
same, but I was happy that the Chiefs won. That the Chiefs were winning this game so
and
far.
I'm checking scores. This is a new level.
Listen, I almost would argue that checking scores is more invested than just sitting and watching the game. Because a lot of people will just passively watch a football game on a Sunday night. True. But to go and check the scores, like...
I have to know if I made it.
You said the 49ers are winning?
They won.
Oh, good. So you're on to the next week.
Yep, we are.
Bravo.
Or maybe they're in the final, but they won. It's 35-16.
Oh, yeah, they won.
Yeah, we're good.
Excellent.
I think that's it for now, but I just had to mention it at some point because everyone here knows we are Taylor Swift fans.
We are Taylor Swift fans.
So obviously that's all I've been thinking about for the past week.
All right. Well, without any further ado, should we start our quiz?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So the first person today is someone that we covered, of course, at this point a year ago, is still actually one of my favorite women that I've had the pleasure of covering on the podcast, which is Maya Angelou. And so my first question for you is, do you know the name of the first autobiography that like made her famous? Like the big book of hers by Maya Angelou.
Is it the like, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Woo! Woo! You got it. Yeah, good job. You remembered it. It's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
I was about to say The Color Purple, and then I was like, no.
Not her. But yes, the I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. I read that in preparation for the episode. It was a great book. So anyone out there who hasn't read it, recommend it.
Okay, our first one is Angel DeCora. And this is kind of a loose question, so feel free to answer loosely. But
I'm ready.
What traumatic and yet not unusual event for the time happened to Angel DeCora when she was really young?
I'm thinking, okay, if I'm remembering right, she got very sick, or her family got very sick. That's wrong. Might have
happened later, but no.
Dang it.
So loud.
It is so loud. I love it.
But she was kidnapped at a young age.
Yes.
It was that time period in American history where they were kidnapping all of the Native American children, especially the women, and sending them off to, like, white schools.
Yes.
And it was literally, quote unquote, to educate Indian girls in the hope that women trained as good housewives would help their mates assimilate.
Yes, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Very horrible.
I think she did get sick later. I don't know.
You're right, too. I was, like, trying to remember. I was like, there probably definitely was. That's why I was like... Ugh. But
yeah,
a little bit more traumatic than getting sick.
Next person is Shirley Booth, who's an actress. Ooh. So the blank, so fill in the blank. The blank is a term used in the American entertainment industry to describe actors who have won a competitive Academy Award, Emmy Award, and Tony Award in the acting categories.
Triple Crown.
Yes, the Triple Crown of Acting.
Woohoo!
Shirley Booth. She wasn't the very first woman, but she's one of the first few women who reached that, I guess, status of having the Triple Crown of Acting.
That makes sense. I only remember that one because it's in the title of the episode.
So there you go. I was going to say, if this continues, I get all your questions wrong and you get all mine right, that's not a good sign, but we will see how this goes.
That's okay. Okay, Grandma Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So after an art collector found her work in a local drugstore and then she was given her solo exhibition, she displayed something besides the artwork that she had made at her show. People joked she was more proud of it than the artwork. Would you like a hint?
Please.
It's edible.
Okay, I actually was going to guess bread first and foremost.
Pretty much.
So, okay, and I just wanted to be on record. I was going to guess bread before the clue.
No, you're good. It's close. It
what
was
is
her,
it? I don't remember.
Her baked goods and preserves that she won prizes for at the county fair.
Yes!
Which is so cute and wholesome. Mm-hmm. I had to make it the question, even though I knew it would be a little hard.
It is the best. Yes, I remember that now. What is it better? Like an old lady with her artwork, but also being like, but try my breads and jams.
Yeah, I know. It's so cute.
I love it. Okay. Isadora Duncan is best known as the mother of what?
Modern dance?
Yeah.
Yay.
That was an easy one.
You could have made them a little harder than episode titles.
Yeah, dang. I'm realizing that. That's okay. My next ones are not are not the opposite type. It was kind of hard with hers because there was so much like in her life that was just like really tragic. Yeah. So I was like, I don't really want to make the fun quiz. What is this traumatic event? I mean, with the one that you did. I know. But that one's like pretty relevant to her story, I feel. That's true. And I don't know. Everything with this, it's like, what horrible disease did she have? Yeah,
I definitely have a few of those.
All right, well, I'm ready. I'm excited.
Cool. Oh, this is about Elizabeth of Vigy-le-Brun. Okay?
Cool.
In early France, there were three women who were like the it girls, the trendsetters, known as the three women of taste.
Yes.
Obviously, Elizabeth Vigy-le-Brun was one of them. Mm-hmm. Can you name one of the other two?
Okay. Marie Antoinette. But also, yes. I do know that the other one was the dressmaker.
Yes.
And I good can't job. Remember her name, though.
That's okay. I that's why I said one, because okay. I was like, you're mm-hmm. not going to remember her name. I didn't. It's Rose Burton. But yes, okay. She was the dress designer.
I should have guessed anyways, because I was going to say, I think it's something Burton, because after we had that episode, I like wrote her down in my notes of like a future woman to cover. Oh, so whenever cool. I pull up that note, I do see Burton.
Yeah.
But Rose Burton, I didn't mm-hmm. remember that. Okay, so now we're talking about Florence Price. So there was a lost symphony that was found. Do you remember where it was found?
In an abandoned house.
Yes.
Yes. That is one of the craziest stories to this day that we've talked about.
It is my absolute favorite one. But yeah, in 2009, in an abandoned home in Illinois, they found the manuscripts that ended up being one of her symphonies, a lost symphonies of hers.
So insane. They're just mm-hmm. like, here's a whole symphony in this really gross abandoned home.
Literally. It's my favorite as well. Had to make that the question just love for it. That reason, that it's the craziest story ever. Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth Hobbs Keckley.
Yes.
So what presidential household was Keckley the personal dressmaker for?
The Lincoln household.
Yes.
Job. Yay.
Specifically Mary Todd Lincoln. But
yes, you know. Mary Todd. Yeah. I think we're being nice to each other this time around with some of these questions because we knew we would struggle with the weird
okay, hard ones. If like I can't even answer them, then I was like,
I'm not going to make you do it.
We've got to go a little easier. It's been a busy year.
Totally. Okay. So Rita Moreno, do you remember what role she won her Oscar for?
Oh, shoot.
Her first Oscar.
Was it West Side Story?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes. It was Anita from the West Side Story.
I got nervous. I was like, she did a lot of stuff.
She did so many things. And yep, she got her very first Oscar from that. She was up against Judy Garland. She thought Judy Garland would take it.
Right.
Nope, she got it for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, next one is Vivian Meyer. What was Meyer's actual day job?
She was a nanny.
Yes.
Yay.
Although, I wanted to put these numbers in here again because every time I read it, it blows my mind. So she was a nanny. Obviously, she was a photographer as well, though. And she ended her life with what is estimated to be 100,000 to 150,000 negatives, more than 3,000 vintage prints, hundreds of rolls of film, home movies, audio tape interviews, and a firma, including cameras and paperwork.
That's incredible.
Like, for not a career photographer, she sure took a lot of photos.
Yeah, so many. I guess being a nanny just provided her with the freedom to just go explore things with.
That's why she loved it.
Okay, this next one might be a tricky one. I don't know. So, Mary Quant, queen of the 60s. Mm-hmm. What is the logo for the Mary Quant brand?
It's a daisy.
Yay!
You didn't think I would remember
You're that? Right, you're right. You would know the branding. That was just the one that wasn't like an obvious thing about them. It was more like a side note in the episode.
No, you're good.
But yes, it's a daisy that has become the brand's icon that was born from the doodles of a young Mary Quant, 60s queen, and inventor of the miniskirt. Mm-hmm. It's very adorable.
Hold on, this sound effect is being stupid. Okay, there we go.
Ding, ding.
Okay, this is another traumatic one, but you know.
I'm ready.
Okay. So Edmonia Lewis, while attending her prestigious college, she was accused of committing a crime against two classmates. What was it?
Poisoning them?
Yes. Aha. That's a sad thing to be right about, but yes.
No. No, I remember that. What?
It was crazy.
What kind of artist was she again? A sculptor?
Sculptor.
Okay.
But yeah, they like accused her of poisoning them. there wasn't enough evidence, so they didn't convict her. But then it got so bad at school afterwards that they kept accusing her of, like, stealing things and, like, aiding and abetting burglaries. Mm. And people were, like, taking her away in street corners and open fields and, like, beating her. It was really messed up.
That is, so yes.
She left. But I just truly thought it was such horrible. A crazy story. Like, how can you just accuse a random person of poisoning you?
Yeah. Very intense. My next one is Maria Callas. So, her musical and dramatic talents led her to being nicknamed, fill in the blank. Do you remember what her nickname was? Opera singer.
I know they called her, like, a prima donna, but that wasn't the nickname.
No, it wasn't.
Was it, but like, you the are right tigress? About
that. No.
Oh.
But, no, no.
What was it?
The right answer is La Divina, which is the divine one.
Oh, okay, that's but right.
But you were right that she was called the prima donna, and then there was that one picture where people called her a tigress because she was, like, snarling at the camera. But she was the divine one because it's of her so musical ability. It's so much
prettier
it is.
Tigress, yes. Or prima donna.
That one she was deserving of, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, Mary Jewett Pritchard. So, How did Pritchard save Siapo, or the traditional Samoan art of, like, cloth weaving printing? You can answer, like, loosely again. Like, I left this a little open-ended. She's known as, like, saving it. So, like, yeah. How?
I mean, I feel like there is something specific that I'm not remembering, but, like, the only thing I can think of is, like, teaching it to people. But I can't remember anything specific beyond that. Aha!
I kind of left it open-ended because there was, like, two ways that she did it. I mean, both of them helped, so it was good with either. One of them was, like, she started the exporting business. So they, like, shipped them and paid women to make them. And so they were, like, paying 20 women on their payroll, $30 a month, to, like, make these traditional Samoan crafts.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that, like, saved
it. That's what really did it.
But then after the war, I'd say at an even more critical time, because there was no exported goods anymore, That's when she, like, taught it. So she wrote books, appeared on television, spoke regularly, and taught about it. So she saved it twice.
But I think the biggest deal one was where she was, like, exporting it out and sending it to that, like, to people and things.
It was a really big deal. And, like, paying women to do it, that one's incredible. I love when we hear about, like, women starting businesses to pay other women to, like, help do all of it. It's really cool.
Yeah, I love it. I agree. Okay, this next one is Juna Barnes. So what was the name of her book as described as one of the three great prose books ever written by a woman, also called one of the great books of the 20th century, and was number 12 on a list of the top 100 gay books compiled by the Publishing Triangle in 1999.
Do
you remember the name of her book?
I know we compared it a ton to Sex and the City. I don't remember the title.
Aha. So you're actually confusing that with Ursula Parrott.
Oh, shoot.
Which is the next person I'm going to do. This is I did two authors in a row, so that's fair. But this is Juna Barnes, and her book was called Nightwood. She was, like, in Greenwich Village in New York, wrote a lot of her books based off of her own personal life as well. So it's very fair that you got those two mixed up.
Yeah, I'm like, man.
I think Juna Barnes was just, like, a couple, like, decades before, or maybe even the same time period.
Was Ursula Parrott, though, she was French?
So actually, I think they were pretty much in the exact same time period, because Ursula Parrott's book was in 1929, Nightwood was published in 1936. Juna Barnes was the one who was in France, not Ursula Parrott.
Okay. Wow, yep. I've gotten those really confused.
No, that's fair. Like I said, I covered two authors from the same time period 2 months in a row, so all good. We're going to take a quick break just to spotlight one of our new favorite women artists. Okay, so for my spotlight today, I am not necessarily shouting out a smaller unknown artist, but I am shouting out someone that I'm newly so obsessed with. Maybe not even newly, because she's been doing music for a while. And anyways, her name's Chapel Roan, and she just put out her album, I think this last week.
The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess.
The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess? Are you kidding me? I've loved her music for a long time when she's just been releasing singles, and I love this album. It is so good. everything she does with her artistry, like, I don't know, like the way she styles herself for her shows coming up. She has a theme that she assigns to different shows and encourages her audience members to dress up. Like, she really creates a safe space in her concerts and in her communities, and like, just is so thoughtful. And
yes,
I'm obsessed with all of it.
What I love about it, so like, I listen to my Spotify, like, Discover Weekly pretty regularly, and then I'll, like, add songs onto my playlists. And I had all these songs by her that I loved, but I wasn't, like, looking at the artist's name that much, you know? But I had, like, all of them independently on my playlist.
I love that.
For months, like, as each single released, it would show up on my radio, and I would add it. And then finally, there was one moment, I think it was because I went to send you the Red Wine Supernova song because it mentions Brigitte Bardot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I looked back and I realized I have been listening to Chapel Roan all year. Yes. And just hadn't realized, like, I kind of realized it was the same person, but I hadn't, like, thought about it. And then it was like right as her album came out too.
Yeah.
And I scrolled through and I was like, I've heard all of these songs. Like, I know every word to all of these songs. And then I actually am super mad because I was going to try and go to her concert here in Utah, and I got the days mixed up. And so the day that I went to go buy tickets was the day she was in town. So I'm really sad because I didn't get to see her. And she's touring with Olivia Rodrigo, but not in Utah. And I didn't get tickets for that anyway. But hopefully the next time she comes around, I'll get to go to one, because she just seems so fun. And I love the idea of themed concerts, and I'm obsessed with her music, the production and everything. It's just,
it's so good.
Yeah. So I'm on that club as well.
Yeah. I just had to shout her out. If you're not listening yet, just go. Yes. The day after the album came out, I had to write the next day, and I got there and I was like, listening to her album is just like making me feel so confident and like making me feel cool just listening to the music, that I just want to write a song about feeling hot and feeling cool. And now it's like one of my favorite songs I've written in a while. So
I love that.
Shout out to Chapel Roan.
No, her stuff is so fun. Incredible artist. Doing incredible things.
Absolutely.
I think her and like Maisie Peters, Olivia Rodrigo, and Taylor Swift, those are like my genre of music.
I love that.
Where it's like Taylor Swift's probably the most low-key out of them when it comes to like, she's got some more mellow stuff. But the rest of them, it's kind of like that rock punk vibe. That's my jam. Okay, I found the cutest little artist on Instagram. Her name on Instagram is Happy Clouds and Trees.
Clouds and Trees. I love that.
Her name is Lindsay, and what I love about her bio is it says artist, illustrator of ghosts.
Excellent.
And that's what it is.
Just illustrations of ghosts.
She also has done these little like animations of ghosts, like raking leaves.
Oh, adorable.
It's so cute, you guys. Like, I am obsessed. They're adorable. It's just like all these little ghosts doing things in the fall. And I just think it's the perfect time of year to have some cute little paper ghosts on your feed.
I'm following them on my personal account right now. It's not enough for me to just be following them on the More Than a Muse account. I'm obsessed.
I love it so much. I think stop motion animation is so underrated too, and I like cannot understand how people do it, but
I'm obsessed.
Anyway, well, definitely go follow her. One more person I wanted to shout out really quick, just because I've shouted her out before, but she's doing incredible things, and she's such a Halloween creator, but she's been doing it all year, and I love it. She's a TikTok creator. Her name is BV Key, and she's got this crazy series right now that's like not your normal kids show, with this character named like Dottie, and there's like some weird surrealism, creepy stuff going on where like it's catching on really fast and it's becoming really popular. And she's like transmitting messages in like Morse code to people and like flashing messages across the screen. And it's like this spooky little series. And she's just so creative, and her special effects makeup is insane. So I've talked about her before, but she's just like really blowing up on here. And if you're into that stuff, like definitely go check her out.
All right, now back to the show.
Well, apparently we were stuck on Greenwich Village for a minute there because I also am there with Connie Converse.
Yeah.
How was Connie rediscovered after her disappearance?
Yes, from a radio show. Someone played her music. It was the same person who originally had discovered her. And then someone was listening. And because of that, they decided to produce and like promote that album again.
Yay! Yes.
That's my favorite story that we covered this whole
it's
year.
It's so good. So incredible.
Mm-hmm. Love Connie Converse.
Came together.
So now Ursula Parrott. How many copies of The Ex-Wife sold? Do you remember that?
No. Like a million.
Okay, well, it was 100,000 in 9 editions, okay. Which is still pretty impressive.
I'm bad at number questions. That's I'll probably never get one fair. Of them right. Okay. I had to bring in Taylor Swift again. Guys,
I'm ready.
Yeah. So Beatrix Farrand, she designed gardens for two of America's richest families in American history. One of them's featured actually in a Taylor Swift song. Can you name the two famous families?
Okay. Harkness. Rebecca Harkness.
Do you know the other one? Just think like American rich. And you know.
I'm thinking Kennedys, but I don't think that's right.
A little less presidential.
Oh, Rockefeller?
Yes. You got Ha-ha. It. Yes. So technically the Harkness summer home that she created the garden for was for Mary and Edward Harkness that were like the in-laws of Rebecca Harkness.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. It's still Harkness. So it
it's
counts.
Still Taylor Swift adjacent.
Yeah. And then the other one was the Rockefeller Estate in Sail Harbor, Maine, as well as the Peggy Rockefeller Rose Garden in the New York Botanical Gardens. Talk about
so cool.
American elite.
Truly American elite.
Yep.
Okay, so this next one is, I'm going to just do two questions at the same time because it was when I talked about Mary Clayton and Darlene Love and background singers. So the first question is, do you remember the name of the girl group that Darlene Love was the lead singer of?
The Supremes?
No.
Darn it.
I know, but fair though that you got it confused with the Supremes. It was actually the Blossoms.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the Mary Clayton is, do you remember the name of the song that Mary Clayton like most famously sings on?
It's the Christmas one.
That's Darlene Love.
Darn it.
So kind of. Mary Clayton did Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay. What's the Christmas song by Darlene Love? Baby, Please Come Home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And honestly, we talked a lot, I think maybe even more on the episode about that song because we both like immediately like, oh yeah, that song. So.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That you mixed. Okay, Alice Skye Belanche. I don't remember how I said her name. What was the subject of her first film, which was basically the first narrative film ever? And it's super weird.
Oh, I don't remember. Because the first thing I'm thinking of is like, I know originally like they were making like instructional videos for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it led to a narrated thing. But I don't remember.
That's okay.
I got it wrong.
It's The Fairy of the Cabbages.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the babies coming out of the cabbages.
Yes.
It was so strange.
It is so strange.
Yeah. And they used like a real baby.
That's even stranger. But you know what?
Yeah. And I actually like my mom asked me after, she was like, do you think that's where Cabbage Patch Kids come from? And I'm kind of thinking probably.
Probably.
Yeah, or at least whatever came before that she made the film from. Like, is there some myth where babies are born out of cabbages?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Okay, so well, now we have to go research where Cabbage Patch Girls came from.
I know, right?
Maybe.
The Cabbage Fairy.
Okay, this next one is Brigitte Bardot. So this one can be open-ended too. I have a couple right answers here. But what is Brigitte Bardot famous for popularizing?
Oof. So many things. Okay, this one's going to be easier because we just did this.
Mm-hmm.
Winged eyeliner, bikinis,
mm-hmm.
the neckline.
Yep.
The pose.
Yep.
The beehive hairstyle.
Yep. Great
and
job.
And Saint-Tropez.
Aha! That was all of the ones I had. Woo-hoo! Amazing. Bonus points for getting all of them.
It's because I made an Instagram post about them.
Excellent.
Okay. Marisol Escobar.
Yeah.
We did this one pretty recently too. So she was associated with 9 different artistic movements. Can you name one of them?
Shoot. sculpting? No. Dang.
You covered an artist who was a part of one of them.
Dada?
No. That's one.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't the one I was talking about.
But that's, I know, one it wasn't the one you were talking about. Yeah. What was the one you were talking about?
Pop art.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Pop art.
Yeah. But you got it.
Cool.
The rest were arts and craft movement, folk art, Ashcan school, Dada, surrealism, abstract expressionism, pop art, and new realism, and op art.
So, cool.
Yeah.
So all of the above. It seems. So cool though. Okay, this one is Dickie Chappelle. So we're going back a couple months ago. This one we did back in July, and I'm just gonna plug it because we had the author of that the was book
such a good interview.
First to the front, where we talked about Dickie Chappelle, who was a photographer, a war photographer during World War II, the Vietnam War. It's an incredible episode and book. So please go check it out. Like I said, we talked directly to the author about it, and it's one of my favorite episodes we've literally ever done. Okay, so what was her first job, or like the story that kind of broke her as a journalist?
I know she was like helping out at air shows, and then like one of them crashed and she ran and called the newspaper and like reported it. I don't remember what she was doing at the air shows though.
No. I think she did go specifically to get a story, and it was a Cuban air show disaster that she submitted to the New York Times that got her noticed.
So crazy. You could just like call the New York Times. Get me the New York Times on the phone.
I know. And like that's how you eventually become a reporter, is just being there and taking the pictures. But yep, that's what prompted her to move to New York City and was the beginning of the rest of her career.
She's also a very prominent part of the Horrible Husbands Club.
You know what? We should like create a graphic of all of the people we've covered that like have particularly horrible husbands and make it the Horrible Husbands Club.
So sad.
It is, but very it sad. Happens
way too often.
Mm-hmm.
But a reminder that there are quite a few that are like really good too.
Yep.
But so we'd have to do the counter opposite and say like there's the Good Husbands Club. But
there are the good husbands.
But the horrible ones are just outstandingly awful.
Outstandingly.
Okay, this next one is also an older episode. The Spice Girls.
Yes.
So do you remember how they got their iconic nicknames?
Oh, it was a magazine that just kind of gave them the names and they ended up sticking, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally as simple as that. They liked to come up with funny nicknames, and so they just did it. And then they started getting calls from all the other press asking if they could use them. But if we want to get like more specific, they chose Posh Spice for Victoria because she was wearing Gucci. Emma had picked pigtails in her hair and was sucking a lollipop, so they called her Baby Spice. Mel C was like leaping around in a tracksuit the whole time, so they called her Sporty Spice. Mel B was Scary Spice because she was really shouty. And then Jerry was Ginger Spice because of her hair. So it was just like off the cuff, very simple. And now it's legendary.
I love it. This is Barbie.
The best movie of the year.
The best. And another favorite episode was learning all about Barbie to prepare for the movie. Do you remember the year that the Barbie doll was invented/released?
Like 1959. Did I get it right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm so glad I got that right.
Like 1 year before the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. This is another really fun one that also is at the beginning of the year, and shall I say underrated? Hedda Hopper and Luella Parsons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun one. They were like gossip columnists that feuded against each other. But there was one famous film that fed the feud between the two of them and made it even worse. And I remember you talked about this.
Dang.
So do you remember the film? It's one of those like famous like film bro films.
I don't remember. I did talk about it. I remember. I honestly completely forgot about this episode until this moment. So it shows it truly is so underrated, because even I as a host forgot about it. And now that you bring it up, it is actually one of my favorite stories we've covered.
It was clear back at the beginning of the year. Like I want to say like February probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was February.
So it was a long time ago. So
I don't remember.
But it's okay. It's Citizen Kane.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ah,
Yes.
Which is crazy. It was rumored to be inspired by William Randolph Hearst's life. Mm-hmm. So Hopper was criticizing the film, but then later on Parsons sided with Hearst. I don't know, like got this huge thing and they were like really mad at each other about it. And Luella Parsons took it really personally and Hopper saw it as a business rivalry, but they were never the same.
Dang.
That's a good one. Everyone go listen to that one if you haven't yet.
It is. It is a really, again, genuinely, mm-hmm. I did forget about it, but favorite episode, period. Top 10, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's definitely up there. It's hard to do top 10 when we've done 180. Yeah.
True.
But it's up there.
It is very much up there. Okay, so this is my last one. And it's also a sneak peek for the episode that I will be doing later this month in preparation for our More Than a Muse murder mystery. Is that what we're calling it?
Murder Mystery Month.
Yeah, Murder Mystery Month. And we're talking about Nancy Drew. And so this is basically just a true or false question because obviously we haven't done the episode yet. But anyways, so true or false, Nancy Drew, which is a fictional character in a slew of books, movies, whatever. But the books are actually ghostwritten by a number of authors and published under the collective pseudonym Carolyn Keene. True or false?
I mean, true.
Yes. That one's easy.
Yeah, like, I feel like I know that one.
Yep, you do. Which is like the reason why we picked it. So yes, true. It's actually a pseudonym. True. Carolyn Keene is not a real person, but there is a real author that they actually mostly were written by a woman. So
hooray.
We'll learn all about her. Yeah, we'll learn more about her later this month.
My last one is also a sneak peek, but mine's a little sooner. It's next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. But Agatha Christie, I did kind of a little bit of a harder one, but just because I feel like it's a really good introduction. And I think you can guess, but if you can't, it's okay.
Okay.
But anyway, cool. What Guinness Book World Record does Christie hold?
What is she famous for again?
She's an author. She wrote Death on the Nile. Murder on the Orient Express.
The most mystery books ever written. I don't know.
No, but probably pretty close. She's actually the most translated author. Like, wow. They've translated her books into so many different languages. There's 7,236 translations. Isn't that insane?
I wouldn't have even guessed there were that many languages, which is maybe embarrassing. So
I think it's like with how many books she had. So I think like that's... Mm-hmm. Each book is probably translated into like 100 different languages. And then she had so many books that...
And they were all translated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But cool. Her books are just like really popular. And mm-hmm. We've definitely seen a resurgence of her because like another movie starring Hercule Poirot just came out this like last month, Haunting in Venice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm really excited to see. But yeah, she just wrote a ton of books.
Well, then... Great sneak peek for next week. I'm very excited.
Definitely. I'm really excited to talk about her. She's a fascinating woman.
Well, we actually did pretty good.
I know. I'm pretty proud of us.
We remembered things. Even if we didn't get the answers right, we remembered enough about the person to at least kind of get an idea.
Agreed. I feel like it's harder to just hear the name and try mm-hmm. and spit out a fact about him, whereas this one we have like a question.
Yeah, it's like triggering a memory about it.
Rather than just be like, tell me about Beatrix Farrand. I feel like even I would be like, wait, which one is that?
Yeah, who is she again? Yeah, literally.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, do you have any reflections? What's been your favorite part of doing the podcast this year?
Ooh, that's a hard thing to answer. Let me think.
It is.
I really loved the, like, everyone's been calling it like girl summer.
Yeah.
And it's like now it's kind of taken over football, which has been really fun.
I'm fine for it.
But just kind of like the Barbie craze and then the Taylor Swift concerts and everything just like back to back. I think it was really fun existing in like a women-led, women-focused space mm-hmm. during that time period and like getting to be part of that. Like our Barbie episode was definitely the most popular of the year. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that like we did that History of Barbie episode before the movie came out thinking like, oh, this will be fun. Like it doesn't matter if it's not relevant. And then it ended up being like, So relevant
mm-hmm.
to the movie. So I think that was probably like the funnest part for me this year.
I agree. I've also found, I think especially this year, I've started realizing all the ways that like More Than a Muse either has been or like is affecting my own personal art. Mm-hmm. Just in the sense of like all the song ideas now that I'm like getting from truly doing this podcast, like song titles and like things I'm pulling from, that I literally was like thinking about a future EP name, and I was like, oh, it could be cool to like call it Muse or I'm the Muse. And I was like, no, that is gonna get way too confusing. But like, I was realizing that as like all the songs I'm planning on releasing next year, not all of them, but like I would say 80% of them, they're either an idea I pulled from this episode, like an episode, or have a line about like being a muse or anything. Yeah. So
no, I love that.
It's been integrating. It's like the lines are blurred. I'm just like, oh, the podcast is just, and the art, it's all just, it's in my mind. It's on my mind constantly.
Well, it's such a major part of our lives now. Mm-hmm. And yet like, it's just not even like, like I don't have to try to think about it. Like it just mm-mm. happens.
Because I want to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've loved, is that like even just writing down like, oh, I ran into this name, and then I write it down and I don't even think about it. Like it's mm-hmm. just like, oh yeah, of course I'll write that down. It's a woman artist that
I want to learn more about.
Into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So that's been really cool. Do you want to list like a few of your favorite episodes this year?
Yeah. I did love the Bridget Bardot one. I thought that was fun. We also did an episode about like girls and their economic power. I thought that one was super fun as like a follow-up to the Barbie. And just like you talked about, like it was the summer for girls. Mm-hmm. And we definitely capitalized on it, talked about that. So that one was really fun. I mentioned it earlier, but we did a episode with Larissa Reinhart about Dickie Chappelle and the book she wrote. That was another one that is a big, big favorite of mine. We did an episode about Misery Business, mm-hmm. the Not Like Other Girls syndrome. And I really, really loved that one as well. And then let me think, what other ones? Oh, this one's back from February. We did one about the way women talk.
Yes.
The Valley Girl Vernacular. I really loved that one as well.
I loved that one too. So one of my favorites was the Don't Worry Darling on Stepford Wives.
Oh yeah, that one is another favorite one.
I haven't stopped thinking about that one because it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like the parallels between it and just like expectations of women, and the Stepford Wives is such an incredible book.
Yeah. So that was fun to read that book, getting ready yes. for that book.
Another one, The Voices of the Disney Princesses.
Oh, yeah. That one was very
so
fun.
Wholesome. Loved mm-hmm. it so much. We actually have a part two coming next year. So definitely look forward to that.
Ooh, also, I mean, just a month ago, we talked about purity culture.
Yes.
And that one was a big episode for us that we'd wanted to talk about for a long time. So definitely. It was good to finally get that one.
It wasn't like uplifting.
No, but no.
But it was really good to talk about, and I'm glad we mm-hmm. covered it.
Me too.
I'm just so excited. Another year.
Oh, another one. Wait, we did the chick flicks and rom-coms.
Oh, yeah. That one was that way was fun. Good. There's some really good ones. So if you're a new listener,
we got good content. Go check it out.
Definitely go back and listen. Mm-hmm. If you've been here the whole time, let us know what your favorites have been. And I'm really excited about this next month, too.
Always ready for October.
This is the first week of October, so this is obviously not a spooky episode. However, moving forward,
it is only spooky episodes.
It's only spooky. And that's more than a muse spooky. So, like, you're not going to be not scared actually to go spooky. To bed at night.
No. And also the good news is there's 5 Mondays in October.
Yes.
So we will be filling that.
So we've got Agatha Christie coming up. We're talking about some women behind Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. Nancy Drew or Carolyn Keene, or who's actually behind mm-hmm. Carolyn Keene. And then we're also going to be talking about one of the most popular movies, Gone Girl, and some adjacent ones to that, like Rebecca, Simple Favor, mm-hmm. all of that. And then we actually have a bonus book episode for October, which I love. So October is a fun month. We'll have some watch parties. And also I was going to mention, I think we'll do like a fun thing for this episode and throw in all of these quiz questions as well as the 2 year previous up on like a Google quiz. And if you want to go and take it, and you score like really well, no Googling, guys, come on, then maybe we'll send you something cool.
That's a fun idea. Okay, good. Yeah. Excellent idea. And also leave us a birthday present, which is leave us a review, maybe share a favorite episode on an Instagram story, share it with a friend. Every love that we get, we feel it and we're very thankful for it. So.
Yes, we would love it. We've actually gotten some random one-star reviews with no words. Just like random 1 stars. So if you're enjoying it, like go leave a review. We would love that.
Made someone angry with something we said.
I know. I'm like, oh, probably about the Roman Empire. We got some hate comments about that.
Yeah. Roman Empire was not a masculine society, guys.
Guys, it was great. And we will never have a society as great as it.
Apparently. We really need to retrain our Instagram and TikTok algorithms to share it to the right people.
I know. I don't know what ends up happening sometimes, where we just end up with the most random people that are like, you're wrong.
And I'm just like, this is not for you. Carry on. Cool. Well, we will be back next week.
We will. And happy October, everyone.
Happy October.
See ya.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.